Morning, everyone.
Morning.
It's good to see you all, especially those who haven't been with us for the past few weeks or so, Sundays. Thank you for joining us today as we navigate through our series in this excellent pastoral letter of the Apostle John, speaking and writing to a number of churches that were facing false teachers. It's a great book, and I want us to just bow our heads in prayer as I seek God's help for this text. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful this morning for bringing us together, brothers and sisters from various places. We pray and ask you for wisdom. We pray that, God, you will enable each one of us to be attentive and protect our souls as we listen and contemplate the truths of this text. Lord Jesus Christ, give me the ability to communicate faithfully your word and be open and simple, in simple words, but powerful word of the Spirit. Be with us, Lord, as we sit all together under the reading and preaching of this word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please keep your Bibles open on that very passage. This is our second last installment. And well done. We've done a journey through 1 John, and our title is Authentic Christianity. Authentic Christianity. And John is unpacking what it means to be an authentic Christian, a genuine believer, because we have so many of us around who may claim to be Christians when we are not. How does authentic Christianity look like? First John gives us all the answers to that passage. We've been doing that up until this point. So now we are in chapter 4. It's quite a long read. Thank you for our readers. Chapter 4, verse 1, all the way to 21. Let me start by reminding us, especially in Africa, and particularly here in Zambia, let me remind us that the way wisdom is passed down over the generation in Africa, it is always through stories. And not only through stories, even through proverbs. We've got so many sayings in Africa, in Zambia, in many tribal groups. This is how we pass down wisdom, through stories, through proverbs, even through counsel from elders. The elders will sit down and they will pass on some kind of wisdom to each one of us. But we know that before you accept any wisdom, coming down through stories, coming down through proverbs or through a council of elders or any practice or any teaching that may actually come from all these various means, before you accept them, there is always what we call a process of testing. A process of testing and analyzing and scrutinizing and assessing, you know, so that you may verify whether the knowledge or the wisdom that you are receiving is really genuine and is worthy of your trust. You know a common saying that goes like this, that not everything that glitters is gold. Not everything that glitters is gold. There are so many fake gold out there. Just because those particular stones are shining, they don't make them to be gold. So you have to be very careful in how you scrutinize and how you analyze before you get it. Even in African culture, you know, as we receive wisdom through stories and through proverbs and through the counsel of elders and so forth and so on, so we ought to actually be very, very careful in whatever we receive. Whether it is assessing the advice of a stranger, you meet a stranger who comes to you and gives you a particular advice, you know, or maybe you want to evaluate the authenticity of traditional healers. We've got so many traditional healers. in Zambia, in Africa, they are no longer based in the rurals. Nowadays, they are even in our urban cities. Everywhere you go, you find some writings of publicity of a nganga or a village witch doctor somewhere. We've got so many of them. Even when you find someone claiming to say, I am from Malawi, I am Mr. Banda, the healer. I'm sorry to mention someone from the East. I'm sure you know that's where most of them come from. Brother Mulenga will agree with me. Amen. Whether it's about evaluating the authenticity of traditional healers that we see all of them claiming to come, maybe to have come from Mozambique, from the East, and so forth and so on. You know, people, they always instinctively ask a question, is this particular traditional healer genuine? Is it genuine? Should I trust this particular traditional healer? So there's that cautious approach that we have. You know, we don't just receive wisdom from proverbs or from elders or even from stories without verifying. We do verify and double check and scrutinize. Even when you bump into a traditional healer, you ask that question, is this particular traditional healer genuine? This cautious approach reflects a deep-seated understanding that not everything presented as truth is trustworthy. Not everything that is given to you to say this is truth, not everything is trustworthy. We need a process of scrutinizing, analyzing, even evaluating. The Apostle John, as a pastor with pastoral concerns, echoes this same principle in 1 John, and you can look with me in chapter 4 and verse 1, you know, where the Apostle John says, beloved, he's calling the brothers, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. Just as our ancestors, you know, they've taught us that process of scrutinizing and examining and verifying before you trust something, before you trust an advice or you trust a practice that comes from a particular person, whether it's a traditional healer, they've taught us that we need to verify, we need to scrutinize. And here we see the Apostle John is calling believers to apply this same discernment when it comes to spiritual influences. You don't just embrace any influence you come across because it presents itself as truth. You need to scrutinize. You need to evaluate. You need to verify before you accept anything that comes. This is what John is telling the believers. Dear brothers, do not believe every spirit, but you must test the spirits to see whether they are coming from God. False prophets, you'll agree with me, there are plenty of them around us. Just look around you, our world, we find a lot of misleading doctrines. Some of them are just, you know, very appealing to us. You know, we call them papas, we call them prophets, and some of them, you know, they go as far as, you know, coming up with churches, but in actual fact, they are not even pastors. They are just traditional healers who have misguided themselves into pastoral ministry. We have many of them in Lusaka. Many of them in Lusaka, everywhere, and some misleading doctrines. And when they come, listen to this, they always come cloaked in the language of truth. When they come in the language of truth, but believers must be vigilant. We must be testing what we hear against the unchanging word of God. Because we have them around. Now, Apostle John here, as a pastor with a pastoral heart, is writing to a community that was threatened by so many false teachers, the proto-gnostic teachers that I mentioned, you know, and also with fractured relationships. Now, John calls believers to three things in this particular passage that we are going to look at. Number one, John is calling the believers to discern the spirits. of truth and error. That we'll see that from verses 1 to verse 6. And the second thing we'll look at later is, apart from discernment, he calls believers to abide in the love of God. And the third one, the third point we're going to look at, is that we live in confidence, not in fear. Then I've entitled my sermon this morning, Perfect Love That Discerns, Transforms, and Casts Out Fear. Perfect love that discerns, transforms, and drives out the fear. And so we want to look at these three points in this passage. Let's start with the first one. Discern the spirit of truth and the error in verse 1 up to 6. Look at verse 1 once again. Beloved, do not believe every spirit. There's a comma, there's a contrast, but test the spirits in plural to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is a key verse in the first section of John. It's a warning. It's a strong imperative command which is given in a negative way. Do not. It's a command. It's an imperative. Do not believe every spirit. That's the first thing we see there. It's a strong negative command John has given to his readers. Do not believe every spirit. And the word that John uses here as a spirit, don't think he's talking about spiritual entities. Of course, this word may also mean spiritual entities, the word spirit, the spiritual entities that without bodies that you can't see, you cannot touch. This is not what John is referring to here as spirits. What he's calling spirit here is spiritual influences, teachings, and ideologies that may claim to have come from God. Do not believe every influence that you hear or any teaching that comes at your door. Sometimes these JWs, the Jehovah's Witnesses, they visit us. They come and they are very appealing, very consistent. They would come and knock at your door all the time. Even these Mormons, our brothers from Mormonism, they would come in many ways. But there are also many other teachings that we hear at radio and TV. This is what John is referring to as every spirit. Every spirit, not necessarily a demon, mzimu. No, he's talking about every influence, spiritual influence, or teaching that comes across, or maybe any ideology that comes and is selling itself as truth. Do not believe every spirit. And the word that John uses here as to believe is translated here, is from the Greek, which means consider something true and worthy of trust. Consider something true and worthy of trust. John is telling us, do not consider any influence. Do not consider any teaching. Do not consider any ideology as true and worthy of your trust. Do not trust anything. Do not put yourself, bank your trust in anything you come across. And this is a very negative and strong warning John is bringing as a pastor. Do not do that, brothers and sisters. Do not put your trust in anything that comes across just because this person comes, cloaks himself as a pastor, is a prophet, is a man of God. There are prayer meetings next door. You just go. But John says, do not believe, do not consider anything quickly as true and worthy of your trust. That's what John is telling us. It's a very strong command of not just following any influence around. We have so many influences here. And it's amazing to see even people have been to school, people that have got diplomas, people that have been to universities, being misled by strong influences around in Lusaka. When you look at them and then you begin to wonder, even this person is misled. He has been taken there. John is telling us to say, do not, this is a very strong command, do not carry on like that. You must not believe, you must not bank your trust in everyone you meet, even a stranger. Even if that person begins to tell you something about your life and your name and your future and your family, John tells us, do not consider it as true and worthy of your trust first. It's a very strong command as a pastor. But it's not ending there. He gives a second command, which is a positive one. The second command, he said, but, look at verse 1 again. He said, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. What should we do instead? We should test them. We should not believe them. That's a very strong negative command. But we must test them. That's another strong positive command. We must test every teaching that comes across. Some of them, they circulate on social media. You receive them on your platforms. Do this, say amen to this. If you don't say amen, something terrible is going to happen to you within 7 days. We've received such messages on social media. Send to someone that Jesus loves them. If you don't do this, something like this is going to happen to you. And so many teachings and the ideology, they come through our lives and many times. But John says we must test the spirits in plural. Now, the word to test there, the word that John has used there, we must test, you know, it means to examine. It means to scrutinize, to prove, to evaluate. This term in the Greco-Roman world, this term that John has used here, it was used in metallurgy to test the purity of metals. And what John is emphasizing here is that there's a need for careful evaluation of everything that we come across. Don't be gullible. Don't be gullible wherever you go, whatever you hear. Make sure that you scrutinize, you evaluate. Even my preaching this morning should be evaluated. You must scrutinize it. You must examine. You must prove, just the same way the metals are being proved. This is the attitude you must have, we must have as believers. Do not believe. Do not bank your trust in any person who comes in a tie like myself, in a light suit. I am a pastor, I'm a man of God, I'm coming from ABCD. And this is a teaching I have in the city. No. John says, don't go that route. Instead, you must scrutinize, you must evaluate, you must prove it to be true. This should be your attitude as believers. There's a strong command which is negative. There's a strong command which is positive. We must test every spirit. Don't be the way sometimes we do. When you visit a village witch doctor, and then you enter the shrine, whatever the village witch doctor is telling you, especially in Africa, we don't argue. We don't argue with village witch doctors. Because everything they tell us, they claim to have connections that we don't have. They are the ones with the unique and special connections with the gods. We don't have. So whatever the village witch doctor is telling us, even if it doesn't make sense, in Africa, we say yes to everything. Why? Many times it's because we are afraid that the village witch doctors may do something to harm my life if I begin to argue with him. Unfortunately, this is the same attitude we have when we come in front of the so-called papas and prophets. Even if what they are telling us is nonsense, but you cannot argue with the man of God. When you go home, you tell your husband, it is my pastor who told me this. Who am I to argue against him? It is my papa who has told me to say at midnight, when it is midnight, I must undress myself and then I must take 3 minutes of prayer and then God will answer me. Who am I to say no, even if it doesn't make sense? You know, this is the approach many of us have for church. This is not what I'm trying to encourage you, brothers and sisters. We must learn to evaluate, to scrutinize every teaching, every ideology, every influence that comes your way with a very careful evaluation of it. John is telling, this is what we must do. And the third thing we see here, when after John giving them a strong negative command, do not believe, and a strong positive command, test every spirit that comes, the spirit that comes across. And then he gives a pastoral concern. I've got a reason why I am giving you this command. He gives us a command. Listen to this command. He says in verse 1, just after the comma, Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit to see whether they are from God. Why? He gives a reason. This is the reason he says. For many prophets have gone out into the world. The reason why I am giving this command, there's a real danger out there. You must not believe every teaching you come across. You must test them. Why are you telling us, John? You want to know? It is because there are so many false preachers and false prophets out there. They have been relieved and they are going around. We've got two dogs at home, Titan and the Pebbles. They are very furious. They are not very much friendly. They are friendly to the people around, but not to strangers. They are able to sense even the sound of a strange car that comes in our yard. They will know that this is not our car. And they are very, very... We keep them behind the whole day, and at night we unlock them. They begin to go around, and they are very good guardians. They are very good friends in our yard. Now, when you come, and then by mistake, we leave those doors that we normally... We leave them open. It's a real danger. When they come to you, they won't begin to sniff at you. They will just do something terrible. That's what they do. It's a real danger. Leaving them open, releasing them, unlocking them is a danger to the strangers around. No wonder we keep them always behind like that. Unfortunately, the devil has already unleashed the false prophet. And they are a danger to the society. That's why John is telling us, just like the furious dogs have been released and they are going around to harm people, we have false prophets around. Many of them, they look exactly like your pastor. They dress like your pastor. They speak good English and they do all those sort of things. They appear like gold, but they are fake. All of them. There are many. Everywhere you go, some of them, they're on the buses. You meet them on a bus. So when you tune your TV, they are there. There is a real danger. John tells the believers, the reason why I am giving you this command is because there is a real danger out there. And the danger is the presence of many, not few, many false prophets have gone out of the world. They've been released. And they are dangerous to our souls. As you go, do not be gullible. Do not be blind. Be a person who is there to scrutinize. Do not be taken by people around. Let's go here, you go. There's a prayer on the mountain and you move and go. This is the reason John has given. It is that there are so many prophets out there. And this danger is real. Just like John had many prophets, many false prophets in his time, you will agree with me that even today, we've got so many false preachers around. So many false prophets who are there to make money, to take advantage of the vulnerable people. Especially women in Zambia. Especially women in Africa. They are more vulnerable and they are more victims of all these false teaching. And it's for this very reason, John is saying you must be people who are testing, scrutinizing things and things that you read. Whatever you read, you must scrutinize. When you bump into these Jehovah's Witnesses and you tell them, I'm in a hurry. Say, no, I want just to speak to you just shortly. When you say I'm in a hurry, they will hand in to you something. Okay, get this, you go and read, then we'll come and discuss. You know? You must be very, very careful everything you read. And then be very careful that. This is the reason he has given, is because we have so many false prophets around. But you know what John does? Next, he says, you might be thinking, how will I know? How will I know that these prophets or this particular influence or teaching is not from God? And John gives us two tests. He gives us two tests. The first test is called a Christological test. It's a Christological test which is related to Christ, to the doctrine of Jesus Christ. And the second one is the apostolic test, which is related to the teachings of the apostles. And John says, do you want to know how to distinguish, how to discern the truth from error? The first test I want to give you is about Jesus Christ. Look at verse 2. By this you know, is giving them a test. How will I know? By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, that spirit is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard from the beginning, and now it is in the world already. The first test for you to know, it is about the acknowledgement of Jesus in his bodily form. Because the false teachers of John's day, remember what I said last time? The false teachers of John's days, they were believing that everything material is evil, including the body. Therefore, you are free to indulge yourself into sin. As long as sin affects your body, it's okay. Because after all, the body is already evil. And everything which is not material is okay, is spirit. That's what they used to think. And then they used to say Jesus' body was not a real body. It was something looking like a body. It wasn't a body at all. So they were denying the incarnation of Christ. They were denying Jesus coming into a real human being like this. And that was a false teaching. And John is reminding his readers, every teaching, every spirit, every ideology, every philosophy that teaches and denies Jesus Christ as coming in the real body, as a human being, 100% man, is not from God. He's not from God. And you do not believe that. So this is very critical to our doctrine of redemption. And the way to confess, you know, he says, every spirit which does not confess. To confess is not just a matter of saying in your with your mouth that Jesus came into body. What the word that he has used here, it implies a public, wholehearted acknowledgement of the true nature of Christ. It has to be something you acknowledge with your heart publicly, the true nature of Jesus. Jesus is fully God, fully man, 100% God, 100% man. And that is very critical for our salvation. There's a writer, a theologian, who said, that which Jesus did not assume, he did not heal. Gregory of Nazianzus. So if Jesus did not get our body, fully born, therefore he was not qualified to be our Savior. Jesus took the full form of our humanity in order to save humanity. And we believe that Jesus was fully human, fully God, to save us. Every spirit that denies that Jesus came into this body and continues to be a human being does not come from God. He does not confess that. And this is very important. This phrase, you know, it affirms the permanence of the incarnation. Do you believe that Jesus became man and remained man until, you know, today we have a God man? And this is a word that John has used. It's not that Jesus has stopped becoming a man. He became man incarnate in the body and he continued. And this is very critical for our salvation. Because if he did not assume the body, therefore, Jesus was not qualified to be the savior of humanity. He took up the bodily form. This is a Christological test that John is giving them. Do you want to know the spirit of error and the spirit of truth? Ah, every spirit which does not confess Jesus, that he came in his true nature as God and man, is not from God. It's not from God. You must not go with it. This is very, very critical. And you know, God required a sacrifice for our sin. And that sacrifice was the life of Jesus. Jesus was not supposed to pretend to be a human being. He was a real human being, and the death on the cross was a real death on the cross for the salvation of mankind. That which he has not assumed, he has not healed. Jesus assumed the body in order to heal all of us. That's the first test that he's given us. You want to know those who are in the truth? They are those who believe the true nature of Jesus Christ. And you want to know those who are in error? They are those who do not believe the true nature of Christ. That's the first test. The second test he gives them is the apostolic test. And this is very crucial, especially to many of us here in Zambia. Listening to apostles, listen to what he says. And it's very, very direct about it. Look at verse 4. Little children, you are from God. And we, you have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Meaning the Spirit of God who is in you is greater than the spirit in the world. Whatever spirit is in the world, the one in you is greater than the one in the world. But he goes on to say something very interesting. Look at what he says now. In verse 5, they are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. The world listens to them. Why do you see many people listening to false prophets? It's because these people, they are also from the world. No matter how you will tell them and trying to remove their blindness, they will still listen to fake prophets. The reason John is telling us is because the false prophets are from the world and their listeners are also from the world. They can't be satisfied with the truth of the word of God. All they want is to listen to fake prophets. Why? John tells us the reason. It is because their false prophets are from the world, and their audience is also, they are also from the world. That's why they listen to them. This is a very powerful statement. If you are sitting there and you're asking yourself, how come people with degrees from the University of Zambia or any other universities, how are they misled by these fake papas? Even when something is just obvious that this is fake, but they just follow. John gives us the reason. It is because these people you call with degrees, they are of the world. Because they are the world, they have no choice but to listen to something like that. And John goes on to tell us something very, very critical here. This is what he tells us later on. He says in verse 6, we are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Listen to that. Whoever knows God listens to us. And he goes on to say, whoever is not from God does not listen to us. He can't. Why? Because he's not from God. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. How do we know that this is the truth, this is error? Those who are in the truth, they listen to us. Who are the us in this passage? It's not your papa. It's not your pastor. It's not me who is standing here. The us in this passage is talking to the apostolic community. The one who listens to us, the apostles. And we don't have apostles today. All apostles are already gone. Unfortunately, I met, you know, 3-4 months ago, somebody who claimed to be Apostle Banda. And many of them, they're just from the East, Brother Zulu. Eh? Apostle Banda, then I was, wow. When did you come back from the dead? Because as far as I know, all apostles are already gone. But we have apostles today who are fake apostles. John tells us to say that whoever is in the truth will listen to us, apostles. Now, we don't have apostles today. Now, the question is, whom are we going to listen? The apostles of Jesus Christ have left something in the writings. It's the scriptures we have. Do you want to know that when the truth is when you are very intentional and serious about the scriptures? When the Bible is at the center of a church, That's when you know that this is the truth. Because the Bible is the product of the writings of the apostles. Now, when the Bible is in the peripheries, it's just something we take by the way. We don't put the Bible at the center. We don't have a high view of the Bible. We are in error. There's someone I know, I'm sure he's very influential. You've heard of Joel Osteen, very much influential. You've heard of Joyce Meyer. They are very influential, but they are not in the truth. One day, he was interviewed, Joel Osteen, what do you say about the issue of homosexuality and same-sex marriages, for instance? He said he doesn't believe that it is sinful. There are those that God has created like that. They've got, feelings for their fellow men. They have got feelings for their fellow women. This is how God has created them. And then someone said, asked him to say, but what are you saying? What about the Bible? Because the Apostle Paul said in Romans to say it is sinful. He said, you are talking about the Apostle Paul. I don't believe in the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul. You don't believe in the Apostle Paul? I don't believe, and he mentioned three apostles. I don't believe in the Apostle Paul. I don't believe in John. I don't believe in Peter. And John says, whoever who does not listen to us is in the error. That's what he's telling here. If we are reject, why? Because Jesus gave the apostles authority to speak on his behalf. Jesus said himself, whoever is going to reject you, the apostles, he has rejected me. Whoever is going to accept you, the apostles, he has accepted me. Because I have given you a special privilege to go and speak and write on my behalf. All the words of the apostles, they are the words of Jesus Christ. Then when you reject them, you reject Christ. And this is a test of apostolic that we need to follow. When you follow, you visit a church that does not prioritize the Bible. You should not stick there, because that is a test tells you to say it's an error, so to speak. Everything we want to do at Christ Church Lusaka should be informed by the scriptures. If it's not informed by the scriptures, then it is in error. I am not the authority in this church. Michael is not the authority in this church. Whoever is in the committee, we are not the authorities in this church. We are not the papas in this church. The authority of Christ Church Lusaka are the words of the apostles. And the words of the apostles are the ones that have been given to us in the pages of scripture. And John tells us, do you want to know that you are in error? And you want to know that you are in the truth? Whoever listens to us apostles, that person is in the truth. Whoever rejects the words of the apostles is not in the truth. We must uphold the truth of the word of God. That's why even when we have a new song coming in our church, we scrutinize the song. Is this particular song in line with the words of scripture? We want to go by line of that. Friends, do not believe every spirit. Do you want to know that you are in the truth? There are so many churches around, many churches. When you were coming, how many churches did you pass through? So many of them. How do you know? It's not about instruments. It's not about good voices of singing. Because they all come in cloak of truth. You must go and sit and scrutinize. This is what John is telling us. This is very, very important. Because the danger out there is very, very, very real. So many. Some of them you'll be surprised. We've got the likes of T.D. Jakes. We've got the likes of Clifford Dollar. These are the people that you listen to. Without scrutinizing and analyzing what is going on, dear brothers and sisters. Tell me the people you listen to, then I'll tell you whether you're in the error or you're in the truth. All those who contradict the word of the apostles, they are not worthy to be followed, dear brothers and sisters. And he's very, very strong about this command. Do not put your trust in everything, but test every spirit you come across. You must be very vigilant, doctrinal vigilance. Are we discerning in what we read? Are we discerning in what we watch? Because even in the African traditional movies that we see, like the Nigerian movies and the like, there's a certain ideology that is being conveyed, which is not truthful. The reason why many of us have started fearing the gods, even the ghosts, even the dead people, is because we've watched too much Nigerian movies. And we tend to think this is true, which is not. Because what is going on there most of the time is conveying the belief of African traditional religions that do not match with the scriptures. Are we discerning? We must reject false gospels, challenge prosperity teaching. We have so many people around who are telling us, if you are not doing well in life, therefore God is not on your side. If you are always sick in your life all the time, therefore there's something wrong you have done and committed to against God. If you don't bless your papa, because your papa is your fertile ground, the reason why things are not going on well is because your money is not put in me as a fertile ground. What a lie. And these are the things that have taken so many people. And I always tell many people who would come to our church and say, if you are not yet done with the prosperity gospel, go first and get done with it. Because you will be offended, because here, it's not about prosperity gospel. It's about the word of Christ that is above all. And all those that have gone after kuwaya waya, kunamiwa, they will tell you all those of lies. Let's sit now under the listening of the word of God. Faithfulness to that. That's the first thing that John is telling us. Discern the error. Discern the error. The second thing we see in this passage, it is about abide in the love of God. Abide in the love of God. And look at verse 7. Verse 7 tells us, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Because God, look at verse 8, it says, because God is love. He gives us an exhortation to love one another. That's the first thing we see there. Let us love one another. And our love should be genuine. Our love should be sacrificial. Our life should be practical. We should not love each other by word of mouth. No, brothers. We must be genuine community of the love of God. Let us love one another. Love should not be a one-way traffic. It must be a two-way traffic. We must love each other sacrificially. We must check on each other. We must show practical ways of love to each other. And the word that John has used here, the word agape, you know, it refers to self-sacrificial, unconditional love that seeks the highest good of others. You seek the highest good of the brother around you. If you seek the highest good of your pastor, you don't go and gossip about him. Because gossip is not seeking the highest good of them. Gossip actually is poisonous. It kills relationships. When the brother hears that you've been gossiping behind, that's not love. It kills relationships. If there's something wrong about me, come and confront me. Come and tell me that this is wrong. We must love practically. We must show that we love one another by seeking the highest good of one another. That's the exhortation we get from John here. Love one another, brothers. And then he gives us the reason. You know why you must love one another? He gives us two reasons. The first reason is because love itself is the nature of God. God, because God is love. That's what he said. Because God is love. It's the nature, it's the essence of God himself is love. It's a powerful statement. It's a profound statement which points to the true nature of God. God is love. If we are to love God, we have to be part of God, we must love one another. Why? Because first of all, it is God's nature. God always looks for the highest good of others. And the second reason he gives us, he says, is actually the truth, is the identity, the true identity of a Christian. Whoever loves has been born of God. If you really love one another, your tendency is always to seek the highest good of others. That is a sign that you belong to the family of God's people. You don't have to wait for a prophet to come and prophesy to you. I know that you're a child of God. No. You will know that you belong to the family of the people of God because it is the identity of Christianity. It's about love. We love each other, not by words of mouth, but sacrificially and unconditionally by seeking the highest good of others. Let us love one another. And John goes on to tell us now how God has manifested his love. Have a look at verse 9. Look at what it tells us in verse 9. John tells us now, how did God show his love? He said, in this, the love of God was made manifest among us. How? That God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And in this is love, not that we have loved God, but that God loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins. You see that? The love of God is manifest. I can't just stand here and preach and say, I love you, and should manifest it. And the ultimate manifestation of God's love, you know, God has shown his love in many ways, but the ultimate manifestation of love is the incarnation of Christ. How did God show his love ultimately? It's by sending his Son, his Son into the world to assume our body, to become a full human being. What a manifestation of God's love. So that he can come and assume our body and become the sacrifice of our sin. Of course, when God provides for our foods, it is God's love. Of course, when God protects you from anything dangerous, it is God manifesting his love. But you know, the fullest, the ultimate manifestation of God's love, according to John, it is when God has sent his Son into the world. What is John trying to say? We must be people who are showing love. Love should be manifest, should be obvious. You don't have to sit there and look at me that the pastor is busy preaching there. He has never shown love. We must be practical, dear brothers and sisters. We must show the love of God because the love is a true identity of a Christian. Wherever we go, practical love, not with interest. We must have that kind of love. And the true manifestation of the love of God is the incarnation of Jesus Christ. And John goes on to give us what he calls the supreme act of God's love. If the ultimate manifestation of the love of God is the incarnation of Jesus, now the supreme act of God's love is propitiation. This is a big word. It's propitiation. Propitiation, it's a sacrifice that has been offered to appease someone's wrath. So Jesus' death was not just a death that was accidental. It was sacrificial. He died on the cross, number one, to appease the wrath of God. Number two, to satisfy the justice of God. You know, when we say we are saved, the first place we are saved from, you know, is sometimes we say we are saved from sin, which is correct. Sometimes we say we are saved from the devil, which is correct still. But the first thing or the first place we are saved from is we are saved from God himself, from his anger, from the wrath of God. The angry God has saved us from himself because of the perfect sacrifice that has been given. This is a supreme act of the love of God. When Jesus died on the cross to appease the wrath of God, to satisfy the justice of God. Dear brothers and sisters, we must love each other and appreciate the love of God. I want you to reflect on the love of God. You know, and I want you to extend the love to the marginalized people. Extend grace beyond familiar circles. Don't love just the people that look like they are lovable. Even the marginalized people who do not look like they can be loved, love them. We are a very small community. Let's learn to visit each other. Visitation is not just a responsibility of the pastor. No. Let's visit one another. Let's call each other. Let's check on each other. We are a community of believers. It's your responsibility. Do not say, my pastor hasn't come to visit. Visit him also. Take an initiative. We are a community. We are a community of believers. All of us are responsible to love one another. We should not always pull the blanket on your side. No. Let's love one another. Let's be very sacrificial all together and show that love in practical ways. What have you done to that particular person? When last did you do it? Let's do that here, brother. Let's be very practical. Display the agape love. You see, John has given us the first thing is about discernment. Discern the spirit of truth and error. And he tells us, abide in love. And the last thing I want us to close with is live in confidence, not fear. Have a look at verse 18, which is a key verse. Have a look at verse 18. There is no fear in love. Wow. But perfect love drives out or casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We must live in confidence, not in fear. And you know, in African traditional religions, the key and the weapon that they use is to terrify you. Your prophet will come and look at you and say, no, I've seen a cross on your face. I see the spirit of death following you. Spirit of death following me. And in the moment they create some kind of fear in you, it becomes very easy to manipulate you. When you understand the love of God, friends, the ultimate manifestation of God's love and the supreme act of the love of God, when you understand it and you believe that God has loved you that way, it drives out fear. You live in confidence, not in fear of terror and punishment, because the word that John uses here as fear is the word phobia, which has to do with terror, fear of terror, fear of punishment. You know, it's because of fear that we panic and the devil takes advantage of all of these things. We've heard of so many African traditions that are they are not even founded, but we are afraid, especially when a widow or a widower is being addressed at a funeral, but in Sambuliafo. Now, there are a lot of things that are there just to frighten you, to frighten the surviving spouse there. If you don't go through the cleansing process, we will raise our brother against you. We will raise our sister against you. You must go through that. And many, even so-called Christians, out of fear, they undergo such nonsense altogether. You hear about things of body viewing, you know, in Bemba, you know, in the Bemba culture and many other cultures here in Zambia, whereby when your husband is gone or your wife is gone, they will ask you a few questions privately before they go for burial. And those questions, you know, they've got something to do, munaji anapo, munashita bwandi, and something like that. When you answer yes, they will say, do not go and see the body. What are they trying to instill in you? Fear. Mukaona shitumbi simza survivor. Muzafa. And this nonsense, we believe them. And then people of evil intentions who are into witchcraft and something, they take advantage of our panicking, our fear, our ignorance to actually rule us. Perfect love drives out fear. When you truly believe that God loves you, you don't fear any punishment. You don't fear that there's a devil there. My neighbor is a witch, and so forth and so on. And each day before you sleep, you begin to cast out demons and so forth. When you are tired, I always tell my children, or sometimes in my wife, when I'm tired, I just sleep. I don't begin to pray and cast out demons. I know God is taking care of me. Relax, God has been taking care of you. How many times God has spared your life, have you prayed? He's with us. Perfect love drives out fear. There's no fear of punishment. There's no fear of danger, because God is on our side. The one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. If you understand the love of God, dear brothers and sisters, you have no fear of punishment because you are a child of God. You are in His hand. Sleep well, relax. God is with you. This is what John is telling us. We have the assurance of God's abiding presence. God is with us all the time. The Spirit of God is in us, and we believe and we trust that in our lives. We have that confidence that we will never stand in judgment. You know why? Because the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, there is no condemnation for all those who are in Christ Jesus. There isn't. Why are you afraid of judgment? Why are you afraid of punishment? Why are you afraid of witchcraft and wizards and so forth and so on? It's because you haven't understood the love that God has for you. Perfect love drives out fear. Friends, I'm encouraging you to trust this. You must discern the spirits. Guard against false teachings that undermines the gospel. As you go out there, brothers and sisters, abide in God's love. Reflect His love by loving others sacrificially. As we go out there, live with confidence, without fear, because the love of God has been lavished upon you. Get these practical applications as you go out there. Practice discernment. Don't be gullible. Don't get something, anything you come across, get it as truth. No. Be vigilant against the papas around. Be vigilant against the false prophets who are telling you all sorts of things. Some of them, they tell you to say, because you don't have a child, because you have never slept with an anointing man of God, sleep with me, you get pregnant. Then they do a sort of evil things around here. The one I know and I met here in Lusaka, we sat him down. Actually, his friend betrayed him by revealing the secret of where he goes to get the jujus. He's been given the condition to say, if you want to attract people in your church, you must be sleeping every month at least with one pregnant woman. That pregnant woman will be your wife. No. And there will be a month where you look around, you don't find a pregnant woman. And something terrible happens to you. Be discerning. Be discerning, brothers and sisters. That's why when you come to church like this, one brother came one day, and after church service, he followed me and said, Pastor, so church yasila, so church, that's it is. Just go home. Go and pray for yourself. Trust that God will listen to your prayer. Kulibe kuchechi kwa tu wameni ana mapempilo yon pang vyo chila mzaki. No. There's no one who's more powerful in his prayer than others. We are all children of God. We can all access the grace at the throne of God. At the same time, we pray for one another. Abide in God's love, brothers. Practice discernment. Display Christ-like love. Embrace boldness as you go through. As you go out, brothers, may we walk in the fullness of God's love, reflecting His character to a world that desperately needs to see true love in action. Amen.